Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, have you had an awakening recently? What does that mean? I don't mean waking up in the morning, but it could happen anywhere. And all of a sudden, life is different. You've been awakened to, maybe let's call it the space between. What is that? And let's find out more about it by someone who was shockingly awakened when he didn't expect it. And all of a sudden his life was turned upside down. And that might be happening to a lot of you, or it could happen to you soon. So that's why I'm so excited to talk with our guest, Joey Natolo. Joey, welcome to Energy Stew.
How you doing? How you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that we could talk, because you had an experience one day or night that blew your mind, literally.
Yeah, it did.
Could you talk about that?
Yeah, it happened. It started about three. I'm sure it started before that, but to where I really understood what was happening, or what other people started to understand what was happening, about 3 years ago. I was married for 21 years, very happily married. Four kids, 21, 19, two older boys, my daughter, 16, and an eight-year-old boy, little Joey. And as we knew it, life seemed pretty normal, whatever that meant. But, you know, I was able to acquire some wealth, and I built a nice house in Malibu. And life as I knew it was, you know, seemed under control. As I understood it, and as was taught to me by the world and by my parents, I just out of nowhere one day I just started picking up on things. And the best way to describe it was just, you know, you have your regular thoughts, the way you think, if you know yourself, you know, and I felt I knew myself pretty well, but these were out of the ordinary, meaning they were coming in differently, the way I was thinking, and I didn't understand why or what. And I would get emotional for like no reason, like mood swings, like if I was going through a period or something, like a woman, I couldn't explain it to you what it was, but I would have these up and down highs and lows to what could have seemed like, you know, a bipolar situation. So I went to my now my former wife, and I explained to her, tried to explain the best way I could, that I felt people, energies trying to communicate with me. And she thought it sounded as crazy as it sounds right now, but I didn't feel crazy. I felt very, very comfortable, nervous, scared, because I thought, the first thing I actually thought, I thought I was dying, because I was in my head, I think I was trying to process the information. And when spirit started talking to me, I started to think, well, the next thing is, I guess you die. So maybe this is, you know, you go through it. I started speaking to my dad, you know, I'm coming soon, Dad. I started thinking of how I was going to go. And then I didn't go. So I was like, okay, so I got to mark that out. That's out. So I'm not dying. I was really just trying to understand what I was feeling, what I was coming into. And the people that knew me the best, my family, I tried to explain it to them, but it sounded crazy. So they said, will you check yourself into a doctor? And I will. I said, I want to make sure I'm not crazy. I don't feel crazy. And one of the doctors said to me, he goes, well, you're schizophrenic. You wouldn't even ask yourself if you were crazy. You're schizophrenic. You're just schizophrenic. But they still diagnosed me with schizophrenia and a litany of other, you know, different things I had from symptoms that mirrored schizophrenia, bipolar, you know, attention deficit disorder, all the different things that they tag you with. I'd been tagged by different doctors saying that I had a litany of these different symptoms, that I could be going, you know, crazy or something of the sort. They didn't know what to say. And so they wanted to put me on medication, and I ended up being 5150, which is a 3-day hold to check your psychological wherewithal and how you're dealing. And it's hard though, because when someone says you're crazy, it's hard to get a second opinion on crazy. How do you get that? So
it really is just an opinion.
It's an opinion, but not really. Because once you're in a doctor's and you're getting evaluated and you're 5150.
That's a legal opinion.
That's a legal opinion. And a 5150, the numbers go up. It goes to a 5250, which is a 15-day hold, and it's up to them whether they're going to let you go.
I lost you. Okay. So they're going to let you go. And some days, okay, I lost you first.
You're at the mercy of what they're saying. And so I didn't feel I was crazy, and I didn't feel I needed to be on medication, really. I'd been on drugs my whole life. And my dad was a heroin addict and a pimp, so I was raised on the street. So I was the last person ever in a million years that you would think they would go through something like this, an awakening. And an awakening has real symptoms. It's very real. And, you know, some people think they're hallucinating, because I feel that they'll tap into past lives and things that they feel. You see it, you feel it. And it's so real that when someone's telling you you're crazy, it almost makes you more upset, because they're not identifying with what's really going on. And I think for any human being, they want to be understood.
But one thing I want to interject here is that in your early days, you probably explored a lot of psychedelics, and they might have gotten your brain closer to the entry into other higher consciousness, because now we're seeing more and more that psychedelic drugs are really being considered to help people become mentally healthier and mentally and emotionally healthier, just because you get to experience the universe in new and exciting ways. You see yourself in better ways, and all of a sudden you understand your relationship to the universe and in this life. And so in a sense, you were in waiting. Somehow your brain needed to wait until you got to be this age, or a few years ago, to really let you explore new opportunities.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of, because I immediately when it happened, I wanted to understand what was happening. And I really didn't do a lot of psychedelics when I was younger, which a lot of people ask me, but I know that it's, you know, awakenings, or when your Kundalini awakens, it could be by plant medicine, you know, hallucinogenic. It could be a death in the family, a near-death experience,
right?
That would trigger an awakening. And for me, it was the loss of my father. I feel that started leading to things. And when you start to feel different, not say pains, but emotions that you go through, it will trigger and open up and access these points to where you'll be able to tap in to the ethers, to this different place, this
right
between that.
The loss of your father, because I had that myself when I was a teenager, but all of a sudden I wanted to have a handle on other worlds, on life after, and where my father could be, and actually he did plug into me soon after he died in a...
How long after he died? How many days?
Oh, days. I don't remember. I didn't count the days, but it was within a week.
Okay, I asked that because my mother passed away July 31st. And
sorry.
Thank you. It was my mom was ballroom dancing the days before. My mom was so young, and she died within 20 minutes.
Right. We had that with my father. He walked a round of golf the day before he died.
Yeah, see, so like that, it's just one of those things. And when I saw her, I got to the hospital, I watched her pass. And I didn't know I'd never been through a situation like this. So I'd watch my mom pass away, leave. I didn't see her leave her body, but I saw her leave this place. And I was such in shock that I didn't understand really what was happening because of the way it happened. And it took probably, I was at the funeral home and there was like 12 people in the room and they were all talking and crying, my stepdad. And there was just, you know, a sad situation happening. And they showed a clip of somebody, you know, going through the funeral thing, and they make these preserves or jellies or stuff they give away to the people that go to the funeral, right? Like they give things away, you know, they offerings of things they give to people that come to the funeral. And all of a sudden, halfway through them talking about it, I hear a joke in my head and I start laughing. Like, it's very funny, but it was very much my mom's sense of humor. Now everyone's staring at me. My sister looks at me. She's like, what are you doing? Because it's really quiet in the room and I'm the only one that's busting out laughing. I stopped myself from laughing and I'm like, oh, it just sounded like my mom, you know? The next day from there, she started speaking to me so clearly. But the thing was now was trying to understand what loss meant because she was with me. So this posed, I've spoke to people, look, between the time this happened and that right now when I'm talking to you, there was a lot that happened in my awakening. I started speaking to ascended masters, communicating. I became a Kundalini teacher. I was separated from my wife because she said she wanted me on medication. And I felt that I felt Kundalini yoga was a better path for me. And due to that, we were separated. Now I'm able, and what that led to is Kundalini yoga, as I look at it, is a technology that helps me, with my central nervous system and balancing energy, right? And so when other people from different realms were communicating with me, I didn't understand what it meant. Well, with that yoga, it helped me understand and balance the energy so that I understood what was my thoughts and what was incoming so that I could differentiate what was mine and what wasn't so that it didn't seem like a manic thought.
Right.
Because when I
teach intuition. I've been teaching it for 22 years. Thousands of people. So it's all about if you're what's intuitive versus what are you thinking, and
right,
the difference between having just your mundane mind and all of a sudden words are coming into your mind that you know that aren't yours.
That's why one of the things the next day was I was on the toilet, excuse me, but I went, this was the very next day after the laugh scene. I was kind of like trying to figure, was that my mom or was that me trying to want to hear my mom? Because you'll do some pretty strange things, you know, for me.
I understand your dilemma because you're not used to it. I'm very used to it. I'm always, when I go to funerals, the dead are always talking to me.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
I believe it.
My brother's wife died, and I was at the graveside sitting. We had seats there, two rows of seats for the immediate family, and I was in the front row, and the seat next to me no one had taken because no one felt that they were more than the people who were already in the front row, that they belonged in the front row. So there was this empty seat next to me, and the ceremony got started, and all of a sudden, my brother's wife, who we were burying, was sitting next to me, constantly giving me opinions about the ceremony. She was
and
talking all the time.
The same thing. Same like I couldn't see, but I could hear her very clearly. And the second day, I was going to the bathroom, and I heard, wash your hands. And I was like, wait, what? And so with her, because she had a funny sense of humor. And so I guess I knew she was with me. She was telling me how she felt, telling my stepdad how she felt. And I'm trying to process it because I don't have the sadness that like everyone else has. I feel her. So I don't have that like, of course, you know what? I'd want to puke in my mouth if I thought I'd never see her ever again. But I didn't have that. And I didn't want to kind of start telling them that because if they couldn't hear, then it started to feel like I had something that they didn't. So
you have to be very sensitive about who you're telling these things to. I remember I was at my older son's wedding several years ago, And my father showed up, and he had been dead for 50 some odd years at that point. And he showed up, and we broke bread with him at the, because he was from a Jewish background, so he wanted to break bread with us. And we did that, and I couldn't tell the whole wedding that he was there and doing it, but I needed my immediate family to come and break bread with us. And they were willing to do it. And, you know, they might have rolled their eyes a little bit, but they're more understanding that I connect with the dead, and long dead, too. And it's hard to be this kind of person in the world, as you are now.
Oh, it's different.
I have been for over, you know, 20 some odd years. I've been living with words. That's not calling voices, because
it's not a feeling. Because that's what got me thrown in. That's what got me thrown in the mental institution. Because it's not voices. It's a feeling. You feel them.
Well, you're getting words.
Well, yeah, words.
Feeling,
but when I said
you're getting words,
they said, yeah, when they said you hear voices. Right when I said that, but because I was trying to be as true to them as possible, because I wanted to fix myself, kind, you know what I'm saying? And as soon as they said, you hear voices, that's where schizophrenia came in, and then I couldn't get away from it. They were like, you heard it. You said you heard voices. What are they saying to you? And it got very difficult for me to navigate through that, because I didn't know what was wrong or right or what to say, because I thought the more I said, it would get me in trouble.
Actually, I think your answer to that would let them know whether you're sane or not by what the voices are saying. You know,
right.
Saying things that are helpful. The first time I heard a voice was when I was about to go, when I went for a run, I was about to step on the drive in Central Park, and I heard a voice saying, stop, don't do that. And I said, excuse me? What? Wait a minute. What's happening now? And I said, well, whatever is happening, I'm here for a run, I'm going to run. And I put my foot back on the road, and I heard again, stop, don't do that. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't like this. It's very strong, powerful words coming through in my brain, but I'm going to go for my run. And then within 4 miles, I came down with a stress fracture. So there was somebody out there talking to me, telling me, watch out, you're going to have a stress fracture. But I didn't, you know, I had to have that experience to appreciate that these words were important,
yeah,
to honor them. So you were in that boat where now, you know, you can make use of this.
Yeah. And I think that because of the type of person, I was a street kid, I'm from the street, very, you know, it was hard. I started feeding homeless people. I started wanting to give back immediately, because when I started to see that there's look, I was a guy, and what I believed in was money. If you asked me and say, what do you believe in? I'd be like, money. But all of a sudden, when you start to see there's something else out there and you can't take it with you, the hearse doesn't have luggage racks. I started thinking of all the things I did in my life, and I started to go, wow. They're there. They're really listening. There's like, this whole thing is real. Like, you don't know what's not and what is. And then when you start to hear these people from a different realm talking to you, I just started to want to be of service and start to help people, because I started to think of the things and what I've taken from the planet. And really quickly, I wanted to give back. And I don't know if it was because of guilt or what it was, but I knew that it was important that I do so. And in that, I started to, you know, do things of service and feed homeless people and I created a podcast called The Space Between. And the first person I interviewed was my ex-wife, because I wanted her to say in her words what it looked like, what I was going through. Because she said, you look like crazy. It looked like a straight crazy situation and needed help.
Yeah, it should be very shocking to you. And so you don't even know how to explain it.
No. And so I felt that, look, it the most amazing thing that can happen to a human being on this planet, right, is to feel connected and to feel the love for one another and everything that we search for. And that's really what I say is what was an awakening. But if you go to a doctor in Western medicine and you end up in a hospital and say anything that I'm telling you, it's dangerous. So
that's a crime. You should have locked me up a long time ago.
That's a crime against humanity. For real, like, not even funny. Like, if you think about that, for a human being or your kid or anyone else out there going and need help from a doctor that we're looking for help, and then look at us and say, you have mental issues, you have schizophrenia, because they're not trained. They don't understand this is energy-based.
Right.
So what happens to these kids? They're put on medication for things they don't have.
Right.
We're all spiritual beings having human experiences. So when you think about that, you go, wait a minute, we have to think from the other side, from the inside thinking out. We're always trying to medicate from the outside in. And it's, I think it's a backwards approach. I think that it helps. I'm not saying it's the only way, but I'm just saying it's so important to have another opinion, because I just don't feel, I feel that there's so many people that aren't crazy, that they're dying of medicating themselves and drinking and all these different things because of spiritual depression.
Right, or spiritual ignorance, really. They don't.
Yeah, know. Really.
Right.
They should have a spiritual IQ.
Really?
Like, really? I come up with that to understand where somebody understands what they're going with, what's happening to them. They're all things that can be fixed inside, with inside you.
This is important, because this is going to start happening to more and more people.
It's happening.
There is an awakening. And so many people, I'm sure listeners to this have had these experiences too. And, you know, I've been living with this universal communication for, I don't know, most of my life. And, but it comes in, it's different, you know, like a voice just shouting at you, you know, stop, don't do that. Other times I've been places where a voice, let's say words, not a voice, but words will come to my mind to do something that I'm not wanting to do, not even prepared to do. And I said, wait a minute, you're getting ahead of me here. And there are times where I'll argue with these words coming in only because they're changing my schedule or my strategies. But
right.
I learned that this is the higher universe talking to me.
No, it's as soon as it's like for me, when I started to understand what's happening, it's like I wanted to share it with the world, seriously, because I was like, how do people not know? Because I also too, this is what I got divorced for, because I wanted them to see how, just understand what I was going through. And the more that I did, and the more I tried to explain, the more crazy I looked. Even when I with the final thing with my ex-wife. Because money was so important to me, and making sure that I had money to take care of my family, because my dad couldn't take care of me financially or anyway, really. When you're strung out on heroin, you don't know how to feel. So I really wanted to create a situation for my family that I didn't have. And right when I was done building this house and doing these things, this awakening happened. And so I wanted her to believe me, because she really thought, she was like, wow, he's really losing his mind. So I said, here, take everything. I want you to know how serious I am. Take the money. Take it. I want you to, because she knew that was the most important thing to me. And she looked at me and she goes, now I know you're crazy. Yeah, you would have never done that.
I thought you
were. And I was like, wait, what? Like, so it's one of those things. The more I tried to explain it, the crazier I looked. And it's what, you know, you just have to, you know, for me, just keep my march. My kids will understand what I'm choosing. And it's not I'm choosing anything over anyone. It's just my heart. I've found my union with God.
Yeah, no, this is wonderful. I'm so glad that we can talk about it. And because the public needs to know. That's why you have the space between. Because we're getting near the end of the show. So people can go to your podcast.
Yeah, it's spacebetween.com.
Okay, that's easy. Spacebetween.com. And you're Joey Nottolo, and they can connect with you through that.
Yeah, we also have an art show that we're doing November 16th that we're also raising awareness to bring solar power to inner cities for lower income neighborhoods, working with ACON. ACON set up a nonprofit called ACON Lighting Africa. Well, Akon lit up 600 million Africans' homes in Africa, and now he's bringing it to America. And so we are doing an art show and a music festival. Akon will be performing. I have Snoop Dogg performing. And also bringing yoga and meditation into correctional facilities. And also just talking, there's another nonprofit called Assist that they train psychiatrists and therapists to deal with spiritual emergencies, basically. And so that's what we're doing on November 16th, and I'll send you all the information so that you can get out there.
Where is it?
It's November 16th. It's in LA. We just locked down the location. I don't have the address.
But they can learn about it through your website.
They go to spacebetween.com. All information on that festival art show will be on the website, and they can join us, and we'll live stream it as well.
That's great. But this is so important, the work you're doing, and it's so interesting how when these things happen to us, we have no choice but to become spiritual and to become a greater part of the universe.
And I can tell you that. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. Please tell me.
What I was going to say is I know me very well. Okay. I don't know other people. I know my kids, but I know me. And I know if this can happen to me, this can happen to anybody. I'm a very, and so when I say that, I also had several ascended masters start speaking to me, people that you probably have heard of before.
And they've been on a show recently. There's a woman in Hawaii who all of a sudden was hearing from Raphael, Archangel Raphael, and Ariel. And we did a show where they spoke on the show.
Yeah, no, I have Paramahansa Yogananda, Yogi Bhajan, Chartreux Rinpoche, Trungpa Rinpoche, Sitting Bull.
That's wonderful.
So when these things started happening, that's how I became a Kundalini teacher. I was taken and led to Kundalini yoga, and it saved my life. I mean, if I didn't have yoga, Kundalini yoga in my life, I don't know what I would have done, because Western medicine was telling me to do a bunch of things that would have sent me off the deep end. And I knew.
We're really at the end of the show, and I've liked everything you've done. So thank you very much.
And thank you for having me.
Enjoy talking with you. Joey Natoto, thanks so much for being on Energy Stew.
For sure. Thank you very much for having me.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.